Okay, I want to say something before I start. I think you guys know me well enough that, like, I can't mail it in on Sunday morning. You know, this is not a job. This is my life, okay? Like, Sunday morning and the message, like, that's everything. And I really felt led of the Lord, and I don't regret it. I think it was a fantastic Sunday. I really felt led of the Lord to have Dave speak last week. And I guess when I don't speak for a week, you know, you kind of, well, that was weird. and you know, we had the Christmas Eve thing, which was a lot of work. My goodness, like those of you that showed up, you know how much we worked on those, unloading and everything. And we had Tuesday night at the Bible House. The first 10 people that were there at 4:45 lined up, okay? And we kind of realized why when they got in, because we had them come in at like 7 o'clock. They were lined up for over 2 hours, and the first 10 came in. They were real hoarders. They were taking everything, and we had prayed, God, help us to handle this with wisdom. I literally had to kick them out. Okay, and it was cold, and people were waiting outside, and I mean, I did not feel good about that at all. But you know, and just because you're not good at something, don't let that ever stop you from doing what God wants you to do, okay? If God puts you in a place, don't worry about your inability, just be faithful as best you way, know how, okay? So I did that. Of course, we had the family home at Christmas and dinners and everything, I put this whole thing together yesterday, okay? This is the first time, I think, since we've started the church that I started, well, I knew what God, I went down to the Bible House. No, I didn't do it yesterday. It was Friday. Yeah, I went down to the Bible. It's Friday, okay? Now, you guys know that I go to the Bible House and I'm there Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I'm coming and going. I'm visiting people and doing stuff, but I'm working there. That's my base of operations. I hardly ever go in Friday. Okay? But I went in I told Heather when I left at like, I think I left at 9 or 10. I said, I may not be home till like 6. Who knows? Cause you don't know what, how. And it went really well. God kind of put everything together. And, thank you, Jesus, because if I was you guys, this would be my attitude to church. Okay? And maybe I'm wrong. I'm just being honest. This better be good, because my time's valuable, okay? If I went to a church, I would not go to a church that I didn't feel, no, I have to meet with God, okay? And many times when I get before you, it's a fear and trembling thing. I know I hide it well because I'm hyper and I, you know, I can talk and stuff like that. But it's, God, you gotta come through, because we can't just have sermons, Lord. We can't just have, this is what we do every Sunday morning. No, you guys, I know enough of what you guys do during the week. You guys are involved in ministry. You guys are putting yourself out. You guys are looking for every opportunity to share Jesus. You're being faithful, loving people that you'd sometimes rather not love, okay? And I have never led a church where a higher percentage of the Sunday morning crowd gets it, and they are doing Jesus. They are loving Jesus. They are not just mailing it in. We need the real Holy Spirit, okay? And I think it's a good thing for a pastor to come into the pulpit every Sunday morning a little bit nervous, a little bit, oh God, you, cause man, if you, and I pray it a lot, but I'm reinforcing it. God, if we're just getting counsel, we're dead. We need more than that. We need more than that. And I'm gonna pray right now. The Father, I felt led to share that this morning. And I trust, Lord, it's honoring to you. Now come, Lord. Come, Lord, fill us, God. God, give us the bread of life this morning. God, I believe with all my heart, Lord, there are situations that all of us are facing, God, that if we could just implement the power of your Holy Spirit and the power of your word, God, Lord, the devil will flee, and God, the flesh will be conquered, and God, you will have your way. I can't produce that, God. And Lord, I just, God, desire that so much for us, Lord, this wonderful bride, your beautiful, beautiful bride, Lord God. God, pour out your spirit this morning. Speak to us by your Holy Spirit, God. God, we've got a whole new year about to jump into, God. A decade, Lord God. And Lord, we don't need a bunch of Happy New Year hype, God. God, we need the real stuff. Give us the real stuff this morning, Lord. And don't let me hold it back in any way. In Jesus' name, amen. This is going to be a three-parter, okay? Kind of like a transition get from 2019 to 2020. And it's the main thing. That's the title. The main thing. Now you got a title, Jean. Jean, I always have to remind him because he edits everything on the podcast, sends it to Bailey. Bailey loads it up and 50% of the time, what was the title of that? Elijah, part 7. Okay, thank you. You know, anyway, this is the last message. Well, you guys might sneak in a message between now and the 31st at some other church. I don't know. You're free to do that. But this is the last message of the decade. For Christchurch, for John, I'm not going to preach between now and the 31st. Of course, you never know. I get called in to do crazy stuff. You never know. But 98% chance this is last message of the decade. The decade. Wow. You know, some of you young'uns there, you'll be telling your grandkids, oh, I remember the teens. It'll be referred to as the teens. Now we're heading into, and we even have movie footage of it now. We're going into the roaring 20s. I hope they're the boring 20s, okay, or even the snoring 20s would be wonderful, but roaring, I don't like the connotations of that, but I have no idea what's coming. But if I'm following Christ, I want the main thing to be the main thing. So that's just kind of the introductory title. The real title, and that's what goes on the podcast, Jean, but here's the real title. It's a lot longer. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. If you're following Christ and you're doing church work and church becomes your family, your center of activity, dear God, I hope we never devolve into this being our only center of activity because, dear God, the world needs the light of Christ. The world needs the love of Christ. Most of our relationships and friendships need to be outside of here. Otherwise, people are never going to come to Jesus, okay? It's great to have a family, but this is our family. We have a world to reach, okay? And if we're even in a healthy church life, the main thing can get lost. Okay? The main thing, those of us that already know what the main thing is, yeah, I know about it, and y'all got it here, I know, you already know what the main thing is, but the main thing is keeping the main thing the main thing. And there's all sorts of things that try to creep in, so the main thing is not the main thing anymore. The main thing becomes, yeah, I know it's the main thing, but it's not really the main thing, because the way we allot our time and our money, it's not the main thing. We just say it's the main thing. The main thing has got to be the main thing. And I need help from Jesus. And you know how I get most of my help from Jesus? Through you guys. You guys kick my butt. You guys remind me what the main thing is. Heather does. Christy does. Okay? It's fantastic. Okay? The main thing is keeping the main thing the main thing. Now, for those of you that are a little foggy, let's go to the Word. That's a good place to go to whenever you're thinking a little foggy. One of them, an expert in the law. Now, remember, this guy's an expert in the law. He knows his stuff. Okay? He can come back with an argument. Tested him with this question. Let's see if this guy knows his stuff, in other words. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, you guys know this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. That's a mouthful right there. We could do a 6-part message just on that verse. This is the first and greatest. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. All the law and the prophets hang on those two commandments. The Ten Commandments, the Psalms, the Proverbs, everything. Everything. Every directive of God is filtered through those two commandments, okay? Notice he says these two commandments, not just the first one. Everything hangs on that. These two commandments should affect everything in the Word of God. Everything. When you read, thou shalt not kill, it should be through the filter of love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. When you think about adultery, stealing, ego, when you think about the flesh, when you think about everything. Touches everything. That's the main thing. That's the main thing. The devil does not want this to be the main thing. The devil wants this to be something that the expert in the law already knew, but it wasn't the main thing in his life. Otherwise, he probably wouldn't even ask the question. Okay? A new command I give you. Now, this is interesting. It's not a new command. Okay? So what does he mean here? He says, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this will everyone know that you are my disciples if you love one another. That was not a new command. That was clear in the Old Testament. But it had gotten so stuffy, so head knowledge, so yeah, we know, it was not the main thing anymore. So what he's really saying is, look at, and that's why he says so many times, if you got ears to hear, you're going to hear. He was implying, a lot of you guys don't have ears to hear. You hear what I'm saying, but it's not clicking. That's what he's saying to them here. It's not a new command. But I got to have a new approach to this. I do. I got to keep the main thing the main thing. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, I'd have a big mailing list. I'd have a lot of followers on YouTube. I'd have a lot of people say, oh, have you heard him? He's wonderful. I'm only resounding gong and do not have love. I'm only resounding gong or clanging cymbal. You've seen the illustration I do, okay? If I was preaching and talking and banging the cymbals at the same time, I would drive you nuts. So that same verse really is, I'm annoying. It's disturbing. It's so annoying, okay? If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and knowledge, wow. And I have a faith that can move mountains. And I do not have love, I am nothing. This next one's right where we live too. And Ken and some of the other people that we've met in street ministry, we've run into people like this. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. You can even, listen. You know who's really good at exposing this? Is my son, who's with me, the pastor that's going to Moscow, okay? Here's my flesh. Here's what I battle with, okay? Council thinks he's super spiritual because he works with the poor now. Okay? Oh, Ben nails me on that like you wouldn't believe, you know? Dad, just because you work with the poor doesn't mean every other church is going to hell, you know? Like, he's great for that. He's great, you know? And I got that fleshly temptation. You know, and it hits just about every time I'm downtown, and I can feel the Holy Spirit saying, way to blow your blessing, counsel. You know, he's tough with me. God is tough with me. But that's good. I got a thick skull, and I need a 2x4 right over the head, and thankfully he does it, okay? He gets everybody where we're weakest, and that's where the devil gets me, okay? So I don't want you to think that. Well, you guys know I don't have it together, okay? But you know I'm trying, and I got a wife that keeps me in line, or tries to. I know you're all praying for her, okay? So there's a good scriptural backing there, okay? We know what the main thing is, but remember, it's this whole thing is keeping the main thing, okay? Got it up there again, okay? If you are a follower of Christ, listen, please, God, you gotta push it down here to here in me and in them and in all of us, because this is dynamite. If it can only God make, you know. If you are a real follower of Christ, you're known more for your love than your doctrine. Okay? You got that? Nothing wrong with doctrine. But if you're a real follower of Christ, you're known more for your love than your doctrine. If you're a real follower of Christ, you're known more for your love than the church you attend. Even it's the best church in the city. A pastor needs to think that of his church or he should quit. Okay. So I know we're not the best church in the city, but that's my opinion. Okay. If you're a follower of Christ, you're known more for your love than the church you attend. Oh yeah, I know that. Dave, he goes to Christ Church, you know? Dave needs to be known for his love, more for his love than the church that he goes to. Okay. If you're a follower of Christ, you're known more for your love than your hobbies, your vocation, your economic standing, or anything else, okay? Anything else you're known for. Now listen, none of these things are bad. But anything else you are known for outside of your love for Jesus has the potential for idolatry. Has the potential to be more grabbing your affections than Jesus. And, you know, I got hobbies. We got interests. We got things we love. Even good things can come between us and Jesus. I wouldn't preach this to any church. I preach this to Christ Church because I know you guys, you're hungry for God. You got it, okay? This is not beginner stuff here. This is disciple of Christ stuff here. This is me speaking to people that are going out and changing the world, not just people coming on Sunday morning. We got to keep them happy because they're coming to church, you know. No, okay? No. If you are known more for all that other stuff and you say you follow Christ, well, that's probably why no one listens to you about Christ. Okay? That's the greatest barrier to our message. Not your eloquence, not knowing what to say. If you're not known for your love more than that other stuff, chances are people are not going to, they don't really care about your love for Christ. Or maybe the reason why you get so few opportunities to share Jesus, because you're known for all that other stuff. All that other stuff isn't bad. But we've got something that we need to be known for. This kind of love I'm talking about, the main thing, keeping the main thing, the main thing. And it's almost like a war. In my life, it's a war. No, I got to keep it the main thing. I know the weaknesses of my flesh. And I'll confess, the main passion of my prayer is to keep in the main thing, because I know how much I stray. Okay? One of the reasons I'm so transparent to the point where it's uncomfortable is that I trust you guys to keep me in line. Now, if I trust you to keep me in line, that gives me the right to keep you in line too, okay? You know, I'll go after you, okay? I've actually had people leave churches, okay? Because I was transparent to them. I made myself accountable to them. And I guess to them it wasn't mutual, because when I would call them on things, there's one guy I know of right now who I called him on something. And this guy is a brother. I love this guy. I miss his friendship like you wouldn't believe. But he has rejected every overture, every invitation to him I've had in the last 3.5 years. All because we had this good transparent relationship. And I know it was in love. I know it wasn't being legalistic, because I had the relationship there. Okay? Keeping the main thing, the main thing. I would do anything for love, but I won't do that. All you need is love. Really? Really? You're telling me all I need is love when you beat your wife and abandoned her and your little 5-year-old son? Don't tell me about what you know about love. Oh, John, you're being hard on John Lennon. Sorry, I know too much about him. Okay? And I don't mean to be judgmental. I hope by some miracle he made it. What's love got to do with it? Tina Turner. Yeah, I can understand her singing that. You know, the way Ike used to beat her up. Okay? What's love got to do? I had the blues, the reds, and the pinks. One thing's for sure. Love stinks. Love stinks. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Wow. You could see the world has very little understanding of this type of love. And I use some extreme examples. We could be here all day, me giving you examples like that. You know how shallow their understanding of love is. What's love got to do with a secondhand emotion? Oh, well, yeah, I know why she's singing like that. You get into some of these artists live and listen to the pain they've gone through. There's no wonder they're cynical. A lot of them, they're not around because they end up knocking themselves off. Okay? Because they get everything that the world has promised love is supposed to be, and wealth is supposed to be, and success is supposed to be. I could keep you here for an hour going John Belushi, okay, like, Kurt Cobain, Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, Richard Janney. You don't even know who Richard Janney is. I like listening to comedy channels. This guy's really funny. Hasn't been around for a while. Guy blew his head off 8 years ago, okay? Unbelievable. Unbelievable how much pain is out there, because they don't know what we're talking about here. They got, oh yeah, love is wonderful. They got this concept of it. But if we can keep the main thing, this is not love like people think love is. They get glimpses of it every once in a while. You hear of these stories of sacrifice and devotion and, you know, and they want to believe, and some of them enter into marriages and relationships. Oh, it's going to be different with us. Love that costs everything. And yet we lay down our lives hourly, not daily, hourly for it. The greatest evidence of the Holy Spirit in your life is your capacity to love. How much can you love? But the fruit of the Spirit, in other words, by your fruits you'll know them. Okay? Okay, the Holy Spirit is producing fruit. Okay? Here's the fruit it produces. Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are just nine aspects of this type of love we're talking about here. There are nine manifestations of love. Against such there is no law. Do you understand the implications of that word? There is no law. It's the most powerful force there is. Okay? Against there is so, why can it say that? Because God is love, and who's more authoritative than God? This is God's love. And he intends to produce it in our lives. This kind of love could never be confined to just a state of mind or a force or a feeling. It is a force. It is literally God. It is God. God is love. Look at 1 John 1:4 if you want to do a Bible study this afternoon, okay? It is God himself. Jesus, this is a very misunderstood verse I'm going to put up here, okay? And what I'm putting up here is not the NIV or the New Living Translation or the New American Standard or the New King James or the King James Version or the Greek or the Hebrew. I'm going to put up a version that I did my best to, I guess the closest would be the Amplified Version, where get all these translations and try to put on the screen the closest to the original, what it's really saying. From the days of John the Baptist until now, Jesus is talking, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing and forceful men seize it. Behind the word forcefully advancing, the power of God. Forceful men, powerful men. How does God measure power? Love. It's the most powerful force anywhere. So when it says forceful, he's trying to, God is love, love is God, but love isn't, oh, love, it's just so kind. Yes, it's all those things, but it's powerful. Powerful, powerful, powerful. That's why he wants us to keep the main thing, the main thing. But we keep getting sidetracked, don't we? Oh man, we get sidetracked. Ask me what I got for Christmas. Fatter. Okay, I said it last year too, but most people forgot. Okay? Got distractions. Okay? I never saw a couch and a TV that I can resist. Unless they're watching a dumb show. But there's a football game. Oh God, you know, like that's my tempt, you know. We keep getting sidetracked. We have more distractions in this generation than any other. We do. There's more opportunities to be distracted. Have you seen this? Some of you guys, I like going on YouTube. You've probably seen this. Have you seen the videos of the people that, you know, they're looking at their cell phones so intently they fall into fountains? Like the 8 million people have seen this video here, okay? And there's hundreds of them. Hundreds of them. Got people walking on a cell phone, walking right into, just getting hit by cars. Oh, it's crazy. Okay? And that's just cell phones. We got all sorts of distractions. We got cares of the world. Status is a distraction. Self-esteem is a distraction. We've got to be better, got to be better, got to be better. Why? I mean, I want to be better too. But I'd prefer to go to the track of being like Christ. If I'm following Christ, I want to be like him. Yeah, I'm going to be better, but I'm going to be better in a much more holistic and eternal way that I was created for than just self-improvement. Because sometimes the motive for self-esteem can be really out of whack. The altar of significance we've talked about. People die at the altar. I gotta be significant. I gotta be noticed. Gotta be, you know, and the devil loves putting unrealistic, stupid, you know, success. That's a distraction. I think I could be wrong here, okay? And if I am, forgive me. Try to keep your heart open to the Lord anyway. I think if we really knew this powerful force of God's love, if we really knew how much he loved us, and if we were really trafficking in that type of forceful love, I don't think we'd be so easily distracted from the main thing. Because this main thing has an attraction on its own. It's kind of like a narcotic. Like if you tap into it, and a lot of you know what I'm talking about. Oh man, that's a rush, man. Can't get enough of that. The really good quote, haven't used it in a while. You've heard it, but I got to throw it up there every once in a while. It's a quote from St. Augustine. Love God, live any way you want. That kills all the legalism. Okay, dangerous, isn't it? You see Chantel's face. I put that up there. She went like this. See, we read that live any way you want. You go, whoa, hey, just a second. But if we really got that down, this isn't even a worry anymore. If we're talking the main thing, and it's the main thing, you're not even thinking about that. I don't think 2 seconds about adultery. Okay? Why? Because I'm in love with the main, you know, guy got crazy so much I drive her nuts. Okay? Like, you know, anyway. Okay? There's some things we don't even think about because we're locked in. And he wants us locked in with him. It's not a legalistic thing. It's a love that's... I pray that all of you will have that revelation. The devil puts most of his efforts into distracting us. He does. Knocking us off course from the main thing. Because other things, and they're always important things, always good things, they rise in priority. Because the devil knows if we ever tap into this reality, he's doomed. He's lost. It's over. Like, you know, he won't be able to divide anymore. We won't be afraid anymore. What is that? Well, look what Jesus says, John says. Perfect love drives out fear. This forceful love, there's no place for fear. What can men do to me? I have Jesus. Can't all preach? Can't all sing? Can't all create beautiful pictures like Steve? You didn't know it? Did I give a secret away? I'm sorry. I didn't get permission. You know, you can't. Got Rachel, where's Stewart's? Where'd they go? Oh, Rich is here. Rachel did a beautiful painting for us for Christmas. It's a painting of our dog. You should see it. Incredible. We don't all have those giftings, okay? But anybody can love. That's why he made this thing available to everybody, okay? Feel around somebody's life, metaphorically. Find out about them. Have discussions. Find out where the cracks and the fault lines are. And then pour the love of God in. Heather, I probably could have found the pictures, but I was lazy this week. Forgive me. When we moved into our house in Brandon, it had an in-ground pool. Okay? And it was leaking like you wouldn't believe. And, you know, it's an expensive thing. It's a good investment. So I decided, okay, I'm going to fix this thing. And I had to rent a jackhammer. You know what? You know the big things? I rented one of those things. A big one. You know, not like the one that got to wear hearing protection. And I had to, this is not my pool, but I tried to look for a slide that kind of illustrated. When you fix cracks in a pool, you have to cut the cracks out so it's a V. You have to actually make the crack bigger. I jackhammered, and I measured it so I could brag 20 years later to a church. I measured out 153 feet of cracks that I had to jackhammer out, and then I had to fill it in with hydraulic cement, very similar to what you see here, okay? Oh, it was a beast of a job, okay? It was wicked. I think I got a blood poisoning attack while I was doing it, and it was just, okay? And it reminds me of, first of all, and I fixed it. I did. We got a couple more years out of it. It was fantastic, okay? It was really good, okay? And I keep hearing stories about what eventually happened, and I can tell you, but that's a fun story, too. But anyway, you know, did it right, okay? Because you got it, do it right. Reminded me of how we interact with people, you know? Everybody's cracked. Everybody's fault lines, okay? And we find out about things. You find out that they're divorced. You find out that there's, you know, they got a kid that's, and we start pouring the love of God in. Not preaching, not wisdom, not, you need Jesus. Yeah, they need Jesus. Of course they do. But, you know, and what does the Bible say? Mourn with those, Jesus teaches this. Mourn with those who mourn, he says. Pay attention. Become an expert listener. We got two ears and one mouth for a reason. We were created to do this, okay? Be a peacemaker. That's what he says. Go after the weak ones, the beat up ones, the ones everyone else ignores. What did Jesus say when you've done none of the least of these? Bind up the brokenhearted. You don't have their answers, but you can love them. You're not supposed to have the answers. You're just supposed to love. You know? Relieve the widows and the orphans. He singles them out particularly. And I'm not talking, not just literal widows and orphans. I mean, any woman that's had somebody or a guy who's had a spouse mess around on them and left them flat and broken, that's a widow or a widower right there. They've gone through just as much stress as if they've lost somebody. Okay? Broken. Cups of cold water. Oh, that's perfect. You know? Lighten someone's load. Bear someone's burden. Quit thinking about yourself all the time, okay? You know one of the healthiest things to do is take on other people's pain and maybe hurt for them and get achy for them, okay? Boy, it puts a perspective. And we've all got pain. I'm telling you, this is a good way to deal with your own pain, too. This is what you call winning people. We win them. Once you win them, then they receive Christ. No, there's really rare occasions where they receive Christ and they get one, but usually they're one and then they receive Christ. And I think it's a good thing just to love them even if they don't get Christ, because he loved us when we were at our worst. Okay? Now, got some advice here before you think you can pull this off. You better know Jesus. Oh my goodness, he better be alive in your life. Because if you try to be this way without the Spirit of Christ, you're going to burn out fast. Tried that, no? That's why he says before, love your neighbor as yourself. Love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and mind. There's a love of God that I don't think many of us have tapped into. We've tapped into a little bit, tasted a little bit, but that's our fuel. That's our power. That's the infilling of the Holy Spirit, really, if it's anything. If God baptizes you with a baptism of love, I would suggest that's even more powerful than the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I think that is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I think that's the greatest manifestation of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, the whole New Testament wouldn't be filled with all sorts of scriptures that tell you how powerful love is. Okay? Oh, am I going backwards? I'm going backwards. Sorry. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life. Forcefully admit. Force. To which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Paul's talking to his apprentice here. This is the good fight here. The good fight is keeping the main thing the main thing. That's the good fight. Okay? That's at the core of it. You're never going to have all the answers. Sorry. You're just never going to have all the answers, okay? It's fun, you know, like we do this all the time. On Thursday nights and Tuesdays when we're having lunch with the crew and Thursday night, you know, we'll get talking with people and I'm forever pulling up, okay, let's find out, Wikipedia, bang, got the answers, you know, and that settles the argument. I'm never going to have all the answers, even if I memorize Wikipedia, okay? Never going to have all the answers. You may never reach your goals. Got that? You may never reach your goals, but you can love actively and sacrificially right now. And it's the best use of your time. It is the most valuable use of your time, and you can do it for the rest of your life. Psalm 103, praise the Lord my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins, heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you. In other words, gives you authority. When you crown somebody, you're giving them authority. You're giving them dominion. What's the core of that power and dominion? Who crowns you with love and compassion. That's your authority. That's your power. He knows how powerful it is. But you don't know how powerful it is until you start exercising your authority and your dominion of love and compassion. Who satisfies your desires with good things. So that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Maybe waiting forever for that. I got no control over my good things and my desires. But I got control over this. It gives me authority. My authority is love and compassion. He crowns you with it. Luke 16:11. So if you've not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? We're not talking empty desires here. The true riches is the crown of love and compassion. Okay? It's powerful. Why did I throw that verse in there? Because where you put your money reveals what you really love. I can tell you what you love. Okay, let me see your checkbook. What do you spend your money on? Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. I'm not being condemning. That's just a fact. Okay? Look what it says in the verse right after this one. No one can serve two masters. You'll either hate one. Not just, yeah, I know how to handle it. No, it says you either hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise it. You can't serve both God and money. Well, we try though, don't we? Boy, we try. Come on, you camel, get in that ivory needle. Come on, you keep pushing, keep trying to fit it in there. There's got to be a way. Maybe we took the camel and folded it. Maybe we, you know, reduced it down to acid, liquid form, and then poured through. You know, there's got to be a way. That's what we do. Okay? A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed better than gold. What does the Bible say? There's no other name under heaven that we can be saved except Christ. Everything's under his feet. Okay? So, the best way for a good name, The greatest compliment you can ever be paid, okay? And it's not pie in the sky. It's not, well, it's just for super spiritual people. No, 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 no. It's for people that say, I want that in my life. And we keep the main thing, the main thing. The greatest compliment you can ever get in your life. That person reminds me of Jesus. Oh, man. You get that compliment, you're, man. But then you know what happens? You get that compliment. And you're so humbled by it. And you're so blown away for it. And you're so thankful for what God's done in your life. It just makes you hungrier for God. You want more of the main thing to be the main thing. We are. We are. This is not hype. Please forgive me. I know I'm a bit of a hype guy. But please forgive me for this, okay? We are superheroes. Ah, oh, John, you're being silly. You came in at just the right time, didn't you, Joy? Got out of kids' church, got in time, just in time to see that slide. So next week, she's not going to want to go there. She's going to want to, I know we're creating problems. Anyway, okay, we are superheroes. What are you driving at here? Even the superheroes and the people that write the movies, they will tell you this. We, followers of Christ, have the greatest force known to mankind, pulsating through every molecule of our being. They all say, love is the greatest force in the world. Everybody says that. Even the ones that don't understand it, there's nothing more powerful than love. You just gotta develop it. Most of you don't know the story behind the X-Men. I'll give you a little bit of encapsulated view, okay? These mutants, these little kids, okay, they start, when they hit puberty, they start manifesting these crazy powers and they don't know what to do with them. So, they go to Professor X's School for Gifted Children. And he teaches them how to control their powers, okay? Scott Summers, Cyclops, when he turned 13, 14, 15, he opened up his eyes and blew a hole in the whole apartment, destroyed it. People were died because he had these crazy ruby lasers coming out of his eyes. And he couldn't open his eyes. Whenever he opened his eyes, explode things, you know? So he went to Professor X. And Professor X and all the scientific geniuses, you know, around in the Xavier Mansion for gifted children, they came up with this highly sophisticated goggle-like thing that controlled his so he could see without, you know, it filtered out. And then all he had to do was touch this and, you know, do this incredible stuff. The whole principle of the X-Men is they've got all these incredible powers and Professor X shows them how to develop them. So they get better. They could actually do great things with them, okay? And they make mistakes and everything. The God of this world has imputed to you the most powerful force in the universe. And he gives you pastors and teachers and prophets and evangelists to take the power and to learn how to wield it. And I'm telling you, we got to keep the main thing the main thing. It's a foundational thing. But that's why we meet every Sunday. Really, the greatest purpose for meeting on Sunday, how do we control? How do we can focus? How can we utilize what even the world says is the greatest force known to man? Okay? Oh, John, that's pie in the sky. Yeah, well, that sounds like the devil to me. You know, I hear the devil telling the kid, yeah, 5 loaves and 2 fishes, don't bother him. He's important. Come on, he's the Messiah, Son of God. Leave him alone. No, he wants my food. Get at it! Look what Jesus does. But I don't have that kind of faith. A lot of you are already thinking that. The devil's, yeah, it's nice for you to talk, John. You're special and all that. You're weird, you know. You don't need to have that kind of faith. You don't need that kind of faith if you've got love. Okay? Because the Bible says love is greater than faith. It says that. Not knocking faith. Faith is great, moves mountains. But this is more powerful than faith. Says in the end of 1 Corinthians 13, got 3 remain. The greatest is love. The greatest is love. Faith gets the date. Love makes the marriage. Faith is the spice. Love is the meal. Imagine sitting down for a big dinner. You know, we had our turkey dinner on Boxing Day, okay? Can you imagine salt, pepper, maybe some butter and some gravy, and that's it. Imagine doing no turkey. Now, I can imagine the turkey and the gravy and no salt and pepper, you know, but I could live with the no salt and pepper if I had to, you know. It's nice with the spice, but how much faith is like, well, even Jesus says, just a bunch of a mustard seed. But the love, he doesn't put a limit on that. He doesn't say if you've got love the size. No, he wants us to be encumbered with it, loaded with it. Encompassed about with it. Faith is the sizzle. Love's the steak. You want to be known for your faith? I want to be known for my love. I'm not knocking faith, okay? But I've known people who have been known for their faith, and I'd rather be around people that are known for their love. Sorry. It's opinion. I reserve the right to be wrong. That's the thing we got to keep, the main thing, the main thing. Will you stand with me? Okay, come on. Let's go. Guess what's coming, Chantel? Are you ready? And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died he for me who caused his pain, for me who him to death pursued. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? He left his Father's throne above, so free, so infinite his grace, emptied himself of all but love, and bled for Adam's helpless race. 'Tis mercy all immense and free, for, oh my God, it found out me. 'Tis mercy all immense and free, for, oh my God, it found out me. No condemnation now I dread. Jesus and all in him is mine. Alive in him my living head, and clothed in righteousness divine, bold I approach the eternal throne and claim the crown through Christ my own. Bold I approach the eternal throne and claim the crown through Christ my own. Jesus, we've sung of your love. God, we boldly approach you now and claim the crown that you have purposed to give us, the crown of love and compassion. Help us to know the authority and the power of love. Help us to know the authority and power of compassion. And God, I'm asking that you will release an anointing amongst this family here, that we would spur one another on to good deeds, that we would spur one another on to keeping the main thing to main thing, God, not letting anything encroach on its priority and its dominance and its rightful place in your beautiful bride, Christ Church, God. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Part two next week, part three the week after.